You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Bears Draft Profile Series. Today, we take a look at the quarterback position and all the possible quarterbacks the Bears could be taking in the, I'm just kidding. It's one guy. It's Caleb Williams. He's the only one. And joining us to do that is an NFL draft analyst and consultant from the Sick Podcast, Draft Vogel. It's our guy, Draft Vogel. Although he does have a first name. His name is John. John, what's going on, buddy? How you living? Where are you? Join us.
Oh,
how
man. Are you? Hey, Nashville, man. Just south of it. Back down here in Tennessee. It's a great time. It's become a sports town. I don't know if everybody knows it for country music, but now it's sports. So, it's awesome. It's been great.
All right. Well, with that introduction, let's start the show, Sammy.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast with Adam Rank.
It's Hester. Trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other.
It's going to be sick.
All right. Now, obviously, I've made my feelings about Caleb Williams well known. As a matter of fact, if you caught me on the NFL Network in March, I said I would quit doing this podcast if the Bears don't take Caleb Williams. But Draft, may I call you Draft? No. John, I know that you have a little bit of a differing opinion. What is your overall take on Caleb Williams?
You know, it's funny because we spent so much time on our show talking about him all year.
Yeah.
You know, because he's such a traitsy prospect. When we talk about traits and tools, you know, as compared to, you know, the mechanics and the different things that you get in the finer details, the traits are like big arm, athlete, could get outside the pocket, moves really well, capable runner, could throw, make any throw on the field. So I think he has all of those things. It's when you start getting into some of the littler stuff with him and you kind of start studying the finer details of his game where you kind of start to sit back a little bit going, okay, is he as good as we're all saying? Is he this generational guy? You know, is he the best prospect since Andrew Luck? I don't know about all that. You know what I'm saying? So I think the first thing was, you know, and we talked about this after his pro day is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You know, he's really a box accurate quarterback, right? Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so I think there's three different ways that you can describe a quarterback being accurate. You know, so you've got the most accurate being pinpoint. And that's, you know, you think about guys that could just place the ball that are ridiculous with it. Joe Burrow is one of those guys that would be pinpoint. I think Mahomes definitely has that. box accurate, you know, you can get it there, but it's more of in a box as as in a circle, you know. So wide receiver might have to adjust to make some, you know, catches to haul it in, adjust his catch angle, all those different things. When you kind of watch Williams, and well, third being just plain inaccurate, just inconsistent, you know. So if you're inconsistent, chances are you're not in the NFL. But when we kind of talk about, you know, box accurate and guys that are kind of in that fit that mold, you just saw, especially at the pro day, you see that littered on tape where it, the placement's not always great. He'll flash it, which is fine. That's part of, you know, if you imagine you're throwing it through a tire, right? Like Joe Montana used to when he was growing up. Sometimes you're going to hit the side of the tire. Sometimes you're going to, you know, you're going to drop it around. But I just think that, you know, sometimes it's going to be right through the middle, but it's going to be perfect. And so even when you're a box accurate quarterback, sometimes you're going to get it there on point, but it's just more so how much is the receiver having to adjust, you know, his stride, his angle to bring in the ball. And I think that that would be my first concern. Next thing is hero ball. Look at what Oklahoma and, you know, and, USC, he moves on to USC with Lincoln Riley. Riley has always run. It's a three-tier system on offense where you have, you know, the initial play call, which a lot of times in that offense is four verts, you know, four vertical routes. They have option routes based on the leverage that the defensive back is playing. So, you know, if you got a guy that's soft squatting, you can kind of run a slant on him. You can deviate from that just based on the alignment of the defensive back. So you've got that. Now the quarterback can check to pretty much anything he wants at the line of scrimmage. And then you also have a box count. So you count the defenders in the box, you know, in between where the, if you theoretically had two tight ends lined up on the, on, you know, the line of scrimmage, that's the, in everything inside, that's a box. So if you have a hat for a hat, a blocker for every defender, you just automatically check to a run. We didn't really see Caleb check very much at the line of scrimmage. There weren't a lot of instances, really, he hardly ever did it, where he's making some sort of, you know, adjustment based on what the defense is giving him. It's because he prefers to play hero ball. You know, he prefers to go out there and ball out, throw the ball over the yard. And that's fine. You know, like, he's going to win games. He's got the talent to do it. It's just sometimes when you play a more disciplined defense, think about, you know, if you know, you have to go play Green Bay twice a year, who don't want to get too far in the weeds with that. Or,
no, I
got, you know, Minnesota's defense, right? Or Detroit now. Detroit's really good. Those are all disciplined defenses at this point. And if you're playing them twice a year, they're going to figure out very, very quickly, in the same way that a lot of teams figured out about Kyler Murray when he came into the league, that, hey, all we have to do is really just keep him right here, and he's not going to be as effective. So the question with Caleb is, can he get into a situation where he can run the offense as it's called and not go out there and just try to make a huge play all the time?
But that would seems like one of the things, too, that they had against Patrick Mahomes when he was coming into the league. And again, I hesitate to put him on that Patrick Mahomes comparison because it gets thrown around a little bit too much. But I think that him and Kyler Murray both had the same kind of rap coming into the league, where it was like too much hero ball, force them into doing something else. And we've seen the two extremes. Could Caleb Williams get to a point? Do you see enough out of him where you're like, well, he probably could adjust with proper coaching and with having wide receivers like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen?
Oh, yeah. And don't forget Cole Kmet. You got, you know, a young Cole quarterback's Kmet, best friend there right now, a great tight end underneath. And I think Kmet could stretch the seams as well. But, you know, when you've got a, yeah, I could definitely see it. That's the thing. It's really difficult unless you can sit down, you can interview these guys and really just pick their brains about football, you know, and say, hey, what do you really think? You know, if you're in a three high type set and you've got this play call, you got a Y cross, you know, how are you going to run that read progression system? And you start to get into some really deep football stuff that you can understand. All right, is he processing at this point? Is he understanding what he's seeing? Does he understand protection? Does he have the mental acuity to keep up with that? And that's just something that us in the media, we don't get an opportunity to, you know, really get a good gauge and feel for that. But yeah, when you've got a traits guy that's just really good arm, really good athlete, special improviser. I mean, he's got those trump cards, you know, where, hey, if you're going to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL, you got to have at least two of them where it's like, hey, I'm top five in the league at these things. And I think that he's going to walk into the league as an improviser. He's going to be a top five guy. and he just very well may have some sort of, you know, maneuver, and that's really considering maneuvering the pocket, but his arm's going to be damn near close. So I like those guys. I like him for those instances. It's just, I'm still not sure if he's going to make the adjustment, you know, to getting into this offense, running exactly what the offensive coordinator wants him to run.
Yeah, a lot of that too, though, because I, you know, I've spent some time talking with people connected with the USC program, and it's trying to get a read. Eventually, now that, you know, Justin Fields was traded, I'm like, okay, then we're locked in. It's going to be Caleb. Is Caleb Williams still the best prospect of these guys? That includes Jaden Daniels, Caleb Drake May, excuse me, and JJ McCarthy. Is he still to you the top guy of those four?
Yeah. I think overall, you know, he's graded out higher than any of those guys, you know, and those guys still have questions just like everybody else does.
Right.
You know, and that's a whole nother episode, you know, to go into those guys. Okay. What's the issue?
Which I skipped. I know that you offered and I'm like, nah, we're good. And no disrespect to you, but it's one of those things. So for everybody who's probably, and again, we can't see these chat comments right now. I'm sure everybody's like, this guy, John is saying that he's the best quarterback of this draft. And I understand that you're like, hey, there's some question marks coming in here. When you're looking at this, though, and I agree with this, too. And I know I've been watching some tape and there's been some people, I think it was Chase Daniel, who was going through some of the things like, yeah, you know what? Like he had an out here. He could have gone to, but he did this or that. How much of that when you're analyzing this, and I've talked to guys like Chase Daniel about this, like when you're analyzing it, and obviously he's doing some things, especially at the college level, where I guess, again, hero ball is the way to describe it. That USC defense was so terrible last year that I felt like he had no choice. Like I feel like if we're up 27-10 on the Vikings in the fourth quarter, he'll probably run the football. But do you do that when you're like looking through, when you're looking at the game tape and everything like that? Are you also looking at the situation like, hey, USC's down 26-13. He had to throw the ball here.
Absolutely. You know, context is every part of an evaluation, right? Imagine, Adam, if I were to evaluate your show, right? Mm-hmm. And not understand that, you know, Adam, you're a renowned guy in sports media and this and that. I could just come straight in here and say, oh, well, without the proper context, he's just a Bears homer and he doesn't care, right? You know, so that's kind of the thing that you have to have context.
That'd be fair, too. Yeah, that'd be a good read.
No, but that's you know, that's what when you're evaluating a guy, you got to understand the situation. You got to understand who's around him and you got to understand who he's up against, you know, because that's all part of it. If I had take him when he played San Jose State, right? Yeah. Opening game of the year, absolutely blew it out the water. All the sports papers and the websites and everybody else were talking about Caleb's just on track to win the Heisman again.
Yeah.
Right. Well, at San Jose State, you know, that's saying that they had two guys on that defense that have a chance of being drafted this year. That's it. You know, and they're most likely not going to be. So when you compare that game to, hey, he's playing Washington, who was in the national championship and won a playoff game, that it's a different situation. It's a different scenario. So if I were to grade the San Jose State game and say, yeah, that was, he's an NFL first round, first overall quarterback, and then go look at the Washington game and just scratch my head and go, yeah, okay, I don't understand the hype. It just, context is huge because you have to understand all of those different things, you know, that come into the evaluation process and really understanding who the player is.
And do you feel like, and again, we kind of answered this a moment ago, but the Bears obviously have to be taking Caleb Williams. And number two, do you think that they did the right move by trading Justin Fields and moving on and going with Caleb Williams?
You know, I wonder if they could have gotten more for Justin.
Yeah.
If they'd waited till closer to the trade deadline, you know, because when you get quarterback injuries and somebody like that becomes very valuable, you know, as a guy that, hey, well, we could bring him in midseason. He's got the athletic ability to just go ahead and create outside the pocket and start making things happen. So that necessarily, I don't know. I know they were trying to do right by him, and I know that they wanted, you know, to make sure that.
And get rid of a distraction there, too. But do you think that Caleb, well, I guess the question should be, does Caleb Williams come in with a floor of where Justin was at last season?
You would hope. You got to hope,
I
right?
I certainly do.
I really thought toward the end of the year, you know, Luke Getsy had really figured out something with Justin and was starting to get some success, you know, yeah. And I know that that last game was ugly.
The Packers were,
right. But if you look at those, that 7-game stretch toward the end of the year after he comes back, Bajent goes back on the bench, you know, like they looked really good at times and they were starting to figure it out. And so I was a little confused when Getsy got fired. And, you know, they're talking about moving on from Justin because I thought personally that I'd seen just enough. Now, that's my opinion.
I feel like the league did not agree. Well, I feel like they would have, and I know we got to let you go soon, but I feel like that if the Bears only had the 9th pick in the draft, I don't think they're looking to move up for anybody. They obviously wouldn't have a chance at Caleb Williams. I think they probably would have rolled with maybe Luke Getsy gets blown up, but I think they would have rolled with everybody. But I feel like their evaluation of Caleb Williams is probably of the, you know what, floor is already there. The ceiling could be much higher.
If you're going to take him first overall and move on from a guy, you know, when you saw that, that has to be what they think. And that's what you're going to hope that Caleb comes out there and plays.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Now, this is just the first part of a series that we're going to be doing here with Draft Vogel over the next couple of weeks. And of course, if you want more draft content, you can go find John on Twitter at Draft Vogel. And of course, the Sick Podcast, Draft Vogel, for more of that stuff. Thank you so much for being here today. Thanks to everybody who has been watching, like, and subscribe to both podcasts. And we'll see you on the next one. Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.